Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Premier Foods Q3 Interim Management Statement call hosted by Michael Clark. My name is Anthea, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Michael Clark to begin today's conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call this morning. My name is Michael Clark. I'm the CEO of Premier Foods, and I'm joined this morning by Mark Moran, our CFO. Following my opening remarks, Mark and I will be happy to take your questions. This morning, we released our IMS for the third quarter results. I am delighted with what we've been able to achieve in accelerating momentum from the first half and delivering yet another quarter of sales growth. I believe this represents a significant achievement in the current economic environment and underlines the substantial progress we've made this year in stabilizing the business and delivering against our strategic priorities. On an underlying basis, total sales for the 3 months ended 30th September 2012 increased by 2% compared to 2011. Sales of our power brands also increased by 2% in the quarter and year-to-date. Importantly, our grocery power brands have grown year-to-date sales by 4%, which represents a third successive quarter of growth. The strong performance of our grocery business this year has been driven by a combination of improved customer collaboration, consumer marketing investment, and new product innovation. Within the quarter, specific highlights included higher sales of Ambrosia, driven by the new rice pot range, significant progress on OXO, reflecting improved customer collaboration, and continued momentum for Batchelors, driven by the new Deli Box and the successful Fueling Britain promotional campaign. We deliberately held back our consumer marketing in the third quarter, given the predictable sponsorship noise around the Olympics. From September, we stepped up our marketing again for the fourth quarter and the run-up to our Christmas period as we seek to capture opportunities in the growing convenient meals and snacking segments. The story in bread has been more challenging. Even though we managed to improve sales and market share of Hovis during the quarter, and I'm going to repeat that, even though we managed to improve sales and market share of Hovis during the quarter, the impact of weather on the harvest in the UK and other parts of the world has led to a significant increase in the cost of wheat. While we've been successful in delivering price increases to offset this inflation, our supply chain efficiencies have been adversely affected by the lower quality UK harvest. We are currently managing the situation and continue to review our wheat procurement strategies to make sure we can maintain the right quality of product across our range. We also announced today that following a recent business review and consistent with our approach to improving sustainable profitability in bread, we have been unable to agree on the renewal of a bread contract with one of our retail customers from mid-2013. This contract represents approximately $75 million in annual sales, but has a very low margin and is costly to serve and will not affect our performance in 2012. While any contract loss is disappointing, we are determined to improve the sustainable profitability and efficiency of our bread business going forward, and we will take the necessary steps to unlock value in this business in the longer term. Elsewhere in the business, we continue to make good progress in delivering our disposal program. We currently expect to receive £275 million in disposal proceeds in the second half of the year from the divestitures that we've already announced since signing the bank deal in March. This goes a long way towards achieving our bank-agreed disposal target of £330 million by June 2014, i.e. 2 years' time, and therefore we're well ahead of schedule. It also, more importantly, represents a 22% reduction in our net debt since the half year. As our business becomes more focused, and following the recent divestitures, we need to adjust the size of our overhead structure to take into account the smaller size of our resulting portfolio. In our announcement this morning, we indicated that we now expect to deliver a further £20 million in overhead cost reductions in 2013. This is over and above the £40 million of overhead savings that we will deliver by the end of this year, 2012. This therefore represents a cumulative £60 million of savings by the end of 2013. Overall, I believe we continue to make substantial progress in stabilizing the business and, more importantly, cleaning up this business. We have accelerated growth of the total business in the third quarter versus the first half, and we're continuing to drive momentum in grocery, while we now turn our attention to addressing the challenges in bread. There is still a lot to do, but I remain confident that we are on the right track. We have a good Christmas program in place for the fourth quarter, and our full year expectations remain unchanged. I'd now like to open up the call to any questions that you may have for Mark and myself.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Robert Dickinson from Citi. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, guys. It's Robert Dickinson from Citi. A couple of questions, please.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Just firstly, on the performance of your grocery power brands in the quarter, I think the growth in these slowed a bit versus the growth that you've been showing at the half year. And this is despite the fact that I think the third quarter for you last year was a very weak quarter impacted by the customer delisting. So could you talk about a bit more about the market dynamics in the third quarter, how you performed versus the overall market? Was that the reason for the slowdown in grocery power brand growth?
Sure.
And then the second question is around the cash costs for realising this extra £20 million of savings next year.
Okay. On the Q3 numbers, so yes, power brands grocery power brands grew 3% in the quarter versus 4% year to date. So yes, a small slowdown. The way I'd like you to look at Q3 is, and I hope you accept these points, Q3 I think was challenging for everybody in the UK market. If you look at both retailer results announcements plus other major branded players in the food industry, everyone had a very tough Q3. I'm actually really pleased with our results as a result of being able to grow in a very tough and challenging quarter. We're also cycling a lot of funnies. As you mentioned, there was the follow-through from the delists last year in the third quarter. But what we didn't talk a lot about last year was some of the unusual loading that took place in the third quarter also last year. You might recall that I joined this company at the end of the third quarter last year. So there was a lot of propping up to compensate for some of the delists, and I don't want to go through all those details. We've covered that ground before, but we are cycling a number of funnies that were put into the third quarter. We also, as I mentioned earlier, chose not to invest aggressively in promotional spend and also in marketing spend in July and August because of the predicted noise around the Olympics. You might recall that I used to work in Coca-Cola. I know what sponsors do during the Olympic period. You make sure that you drown the market with communication and promotions, that you block people from ambush marketing. And so therefore I chose to hold back some of our spends in July and August and put those funds into September, October, November, December, which I think was the right thing for our business to do. And I think it will pay dividends to our business as a result of that. And also we focused our investment only on the power brands in September. So quiet in July, August, and a real significant pickup in September. So on the whole, I'm very pleased with what we've been able to achieve in the third quarter, taking into account, one, the conditions of the market, where everyone is finding it tough, two, what we're cycling, and three, the fact that we've actually chose not to spend in July and August. And obviously, we weren't going to signal that ahead of time. That would have been foolish to signal that ahead of time. With regard to your second question, Robert, on the cash cost for the next tranche of costs that are coming out, the second tranche of costs, the $20 million that's coming out, is going to be cheaper for us to realize for a couple of reasons. One, we have momentum in how we're addressing the cost savings programs. In fact, the cost to achieve the first $40 million is lower than what most people have expected. And secondly, the other reason why the cash costs are lower is there's going to be a lower proportion of people impact. It's more other costs that Mark and I are focused on taking out of the business. And the way we'd like to explain that without going into any more detail is Mark and I have now spent approximately a year in this company. We have a better understanding of how to simplify this company. And you'll notice I'm using the words company A year ago, people would have used the word group. This is not a group. There was a group mentality for the structure of the company, of the business at that time, and we have now simplified this company, taking a lot of costs out of this business at a central overhead from central overheads, and we now talk about two divisions in this company: a bread division and a grocery division, as opposed to a group mentality, which I hope talks to how we've addressed taking costs out.
That's very clear. Thanks. Can I just ask one last question on the bread contract that you've exited? I guess the question is just whether this is a particularly unusual contract in terms of having very low profitability, or would you say that there are other contracts that this might happen with too?
Right. I appreciate the question, and if you don't mind, I'm positive there's going to be other questions on it, so I'm going to back up a bit and give a bit more context on this. The way I'd like everyone to think about this is, when I joined and took over running this business, it was very clear there was a lot of cleaning up that needed to go on. There was a lot of stabilizing the business and getting the business onto sustainable trading practices. We couldn't do everything at once. It's just humanly impossible. I think this team has done a huge amount in a short period of time with the turning the business around, cleaning up grocery, doing the divestitures, taking costs out. But the point I want to get to is we prioritized cleaning up the grocery business. And I think we've taken the pain, we've cycled, you know, cleaning up the grey market of all the loaded inventory that took place, you know, years ago. And we've cleaned that up. And I think we're getting to more sustainable results now in our grocery business, and I hope that continues in quarters to come. We now need to focus our attention on cleaning up our bread business. And when I say cleaning up, it's cleaning up our business practices and how we are going to sustainably grow this business, not just top line, but more importantly, bottom line. On this particular bread contract, it is an unusually low margin contract. It is also very high cost to serve. And, you know, I always would like to retain contracts, but I want to retain contracts on a basis where it's going to be sustainable for both us and for the retailer. In this instance, we've had numerous conversations with the retailer, and as of last night, we realized that this was probably not going to be a sustainable contract for us, and as a result, that retailer will move forward with somebody else on a business which obviously they will find attractive. It's, you know, our bread business is very similar to other people's bread businesses. We have similar input costs, similar logistics costs. If this is a unprofitable business for us and somebody else is obviously putting more money on the table to take that business, then I wish everybody well. And obviously we will work collaboratively with that retailer to transfer that business to the new supplier mid-2013.
Thanks very much.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Sloan from SocGen. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Got two questions, if that's right. Just firstly, going back to the bread business and your statement to take action as to realise value there. I was just wondering if you could give a bit more colour on, you know, what actions at this stage you think are necessary to unlock value. Would you consider, you know, maybe a joint venture in distributions? I know that's been talked about in the past. And then just secondly, on the underlying growth 2% and 3% in grocery, I was wondering if you could break down the volume and pricing within those numbers.
Okay. Alex, while we've I like your question on bread. While we've obviously clearly worked very hard on cleaning up the our business practices on grocery and getting the grocery business to be more sustainable, I can assure you we've not been sitting on our hands doing nothing on bread. We have piloted a number of different exercises, scenarios on how we could improve our bread business. It is a very complex business. If you think about it, it's not just brands, but it's also private label. We have a large number of bakeries. We also are the biggest milling business in the UK. And we also have a huge logistics infrastructure. We're the seventh or eighth largest logistics infrastructure in the UK after UPS, DHL, etc. So we've spent a lot of time, especially with our supply chain guys, on working through different business models that we could apply. What parts of the business are essential to our business going forward, what parts aren't essential to the business going forward, and clearly I don't want to get into any more detail than the generics that I'm using in this conversation at the moment. We have worked out what our preferred solutions and scenarios are as we go forward now. And in the same way as in the grocery business, we've signaled to the city the headline of what we're going to do, and then we come back later and actually tell you that we did it, how we did it, and hopefully every time we pleasantly surprise people by putting more on the table or doing it quicker. I'm hoping we'll do the same thing now on bread. And so it's one of the reasons why I wanted Jeff Eaton to join our organization. Jeff has experience in bread. Jeff has experience in running businesses. He's also got experience in running businesses that are going through tough or have gone through tough situations. And we have really stretched our business, our people in this company, dramatically in the last 9 to 12 months. The workload has been humongous. I don't think, when I say that, I think people will go, yeah, probably has been humongous. I don't think people really appreciate just how much work we've gone through. And so we now want to make sure that we put the appropriate resources, which is Bob Spooner, who's heading up our bread business. And Bob was our supply chain head, continues to be our supply chain head, but he's very focused on the bread restructuring and addressing how we're going to unlock value in bread. And we've got Jeff now, who's joined our team, who's going to also help us on the operational side of the business. And so now we are going to, in the same way as we've fixed or hopefully fixed grocery, we're going to now fix bread. And it's going to, we will sometimes have to take pain as we do that, much like we did in grocery. From some of you that I've talked to before, you know that our grocery numbers could have been higher in the first half of the year if we replicated business practice from the prior year, i.e. loading the trade. We did not load the trade, and therefore we took the pain. And I think we've delivered good numbers. But we will slowly but surely clean up the business, and we're now focusing on bread. On your second question regarding the growth of the 2%, Mark, I want to give Mark a chance to jump in here, and he'll talk to the split on the volume versus price.
Yeah, I mean, it's across the quarter, it's sort of a mixed picture, depending whether you look at power brands or sort of unbranded business. But in essence, I think the sort of to take away from it is a continuation of what we really saw in the first half of the year, which is volumes basically flat, maybe a tad down, and therefore most of the growth is coming through on price, so price mix side of the equation. So certainly we're not seeing pickup in volumes in quarter three.
And mix should come through stronger as we go forward if we really have been able to clean up the grocery business.
Yes, and we've begun.
And we've seen that in September.
Yeah, we're going to see some evidence of that. You recall when we spoke at the interim stage, I think people were asking us that question, and we said it's got to be round the corner because we can't believe there's much more product out there. And actually, we started to see that back end of August into September, and you know, looking better for the fourth quarter. So. So that price dynamic will strengthen during the rest of the year.
Okay, thanks. Just one quick follow up on the first question. Thanks for your answers there. In terms of the time frame for these potential actions, I mean, how should we think about that? Is it kind of by the end of this year or over the course of next year? If you could give any guidance on that, that'd be helpful.
Alex, for obvious reasons, I'm not going to put a timetable on it. I hope we've earned the respect with analysts and investors that we will tell you what we're going to do, and then we do it and we get it done quicker
okay.
than everyone thought. I am in a hurry. That's my personal comment. That's not a Premier Foods comment. I'm in a hurry, but we're going to do this in an appropriately disciplined way. That ensures that we don't drop balls, and we do this in a way that will be value accretive to our business and to everyone that works with us, i.e. suppliers and also retailers.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question comes from the line of Martin Deboo by Investec. Please go ahead, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. I've got more questions on everybody's favourite subject of bread, but in deference to you, let me ask one on grocery. Would you say, Mike, that you're beginning to see signs of regaining some of the listings that were lost in Q2, Q3 last year? That would be a key question for me. And then I have got on bread, on the contract loss, you say it's not very profitable, but I assume it must be making a contribution. Therefore, just building on Rob and Alex's questions, it feels to me as if what you're saying on that is that you're no longer regarding the fixed cost base of the bread business as inviolable and are looking at options to reduce that. Would that be a fair inference to take? And I just also want to ask you in bread, can you just tell me, do you feel that the price increase you've secured is sufficient to recover the entirety of wheat cost inflation? Those are the questions. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you for asking a grocery question. I say that to everyone on the call purely from the point of we've gone through a lot of pain in cleaning up grocery, and I'd like everyone to at least recognize that we've done that. Now we'll go through whatever pain is required to clean up the bread business. Your question specifically about the relistings, we still have a lot more ground to regain in recapturing those listings. I think it's fair to say a lot of retailers have had some challenging quarters since we got delisted, and so we have not yet fully regained all the space that we lost when we got delisted last year, and so that should still be a positive for our business because we're very focused on continuing to grow our availability of our portfolio across not just the retailers where we got delisted, but also across the entire retail estate. And so there's still, I think, significant upsides for our business in growing availability of our portfolio in lost territory as well as in open territory that we still can go after. So I still view that as upside. The short answer to that is there's still opportunity to regain more space.
Can I interrupt you on that? I mean, I'm trying to take a step back from this. I mean, I suppose, there's a sort of bearish thesis here and a bullish thesis. The bullish thesis is, you know, this ground was lost on the basis of, management actions that, caused damage to the business, and there's a sort of underlying goodwill in the trade that wants to see you back on shelf. And, as they build confidence in you and the team, that will come back. The more bearish thesis is this sort of business shrank irretrievably in Q2 and Q3 last year and is now incrementing slowly from a lower base. I mean, which of those two do you think it is?
No, I think it's we are regaining the space, but we're not going to buy that space back for the conversations we've had before, you and I. We're not going to buy it back. We will earn it back. And so sometimes earning it back means it takes a bit longer. You have to sometimes wait for the shelf resets. Don't forget, when we got taken off the shelf, other brands got put in there, and people are supporting their brands. And so you either buy the space back or you earn it back, and we would rather take the approach of earning it back to ensure that there's a disciplined approach to regain that space. And we have regained it. And please don't take my comment as negative that we're so far behind. We are... we haven't fully recovered, but we have regained a lot of that, and we're gaining momentum on that. And this just takes time. So please don't take that as a negative. I think it's a positive. With regard to your the bread question, the easiest way to answer it is yes, it is a fair inference the way you ask the question. But clearly, there's not only downsides to losing a contract. There's other pieces of business that can be picked up, and obviously we're looking to make sure that as we pick up other pieces of business that it's going to be margin enhancing to our business on a sustainable way going forward. But we are looking at all parts of our business, the cost structure of our bread business, and I've mentioned before that we historically have done a very good job in taking costs out of our grocery business, and this is now beyond the overhead costs discussion that I've talked about, the 60 million cumulative central overhead we're taking out. This is about manufacturing productivity and efficiencies. We've generally done a very good job in grocery. I think we can do a lot better job in bread as we go forward. I think we can also look at our structures and how those bread structures are either used or unused as we go forward. And I think we can get a better return for those structures as we go forward. I clearly do not want to go into detail here, and I would like to just reiterate that we'd like to give the headline on what we plan to do and then come back on a quarterly basis and give everyone a progress report on how we are now delivering on what we said we were going to do, and hopefully continue to pleasantly surprise people that we're ahead of schedule and we're delivering more. On your last question on the price increase, we're focused on only recovering the absolute increase in wheat cost. That's what we have targeted trying to recover, and that's what we did in our price increases, and we have now done that. We need to try and make sure that any other inefficiencies in our bread system need to be recovered through productivity savings, etc. And that's the mindset that we've taken as we move forward in the bread business.
Okay, thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
The next question comes from the line of Chris Hallam from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, Chris.
Go ahead.
Just two quick questions from me. Firstly, what sort of scale were those share gains in Hovis in the quarter? And is that year on year or versus Q2? As obviously Q3 last year was quite weak. And then secondly, the reduction in A&P spend through the Olympics, will that reduce your full year spend from your prior expectations, or are you going to make up for that in the rest of the year?
The share gains were just under 1% in the quarter on Hovis, and that's versus the prior year. And with regard to your question on the marketing spend, we're still going to spend the full amount of money. As we said at the half year, we have redirected some of the marketing money into promotional spend, and that's just purely because of the market dynamics. There is a lot of promotional activity in the marketplace driven by A brands, but also driven by retailers around their businesses. I'm sure you're all very aware of what's happening with couponing in the marketplace between the retailers. And so it is very important that we remain competitive on the promotional front. As we said at the half year, we spent less on promotion than competitor brands, and we're able to go share to the half year. And we will continue to spend an appropriate amount on promotion. So we've not cut our total investment in the business as a result of going quiet during the Olympic period. It was more just save those pounds on promotion and marketing spend and redeploy them in the last 4 months of the year, September through to December.
Yeah, I mean, then at the half year you saw us 40% up in consumer marketing spend. We're still going to be probably about 80% up in the year on last year's low level of spend.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Currently have no further questions. Just a reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. And the next question comes from the line of Charles Pick from Numis. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, just had a couple on the bread side, actually. Could you just remind us, please, of what percentage of your wheat requirements you're securing from the UK at the moment? And also, there is this reference about the adverse impact of the bad harvest on the supply chain efficiencies in the Q3 period. Is it possible to quantify that, please?
Charles, we don't divulge the percentage split on our wheat from procurement from different sources, and I hope you can accept that from a competitive point of view. Suffice it to say that our branded proposition, Hovis, is 100% British wheat. With regard to the wheat crop, it's clearly been a challenge in North America, and I'm going to get to the UK, but North America with the drought, and so that had the huge impact on global wheat supply. With regard to the wheat crop, the UK wheat, as a result of the poor weather, i.e. the wet weather, UK wheat yields are down 14%, and it's the worst crop harvest in 40 years. And so therefore it obviously is, given the poorer quality of the total crop, it therefore makes it challenging not only for us but also for the other major players in this marketplace to get the recipe or the formulation right to ensure that you maintain the quality levels in the bread that you deliver to stores and therefore to consumers.
Okay, thank you very much. So you're not prepared to quantify that adverse impact in Q3 to any extent?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Martin Deboe from Investec again.
Two quick unrelated follow-ups. Quick follow-up to Charles's question. I mean, are you standing behind your brand proposition of 100% British wheat, or are you prepared to review that in line with all the other sort of radical actions you're looking at in bread? That would be the first. The second is unrelated. I just want to sort of look at full year expectations. You said you're trading in line with your expectations, but I guess the direct question to ask is, do you think you'll be able to grow profits in ongoing ops this year? You know, I think the reference base last year in current ongoing ops was 126 million. Do you expect to be able to grow that number, or are we looking at a sort of flat to declining year?
Okay, I'll tackle the first question. I'll get Mark to tackle the second question. On British, yes, currently we're sticking with 100% British wheat, and I do hope that retailers and consumers will support British. And Martin, you and I have had a chat about this before, and a number of you on the call probably have had this conversation with me. I think it is a unique point of difference for our business, and it would be fantastic if British consumers and British retailers would support British. British jobs and British farmers and British supply chain. But obviously we will continue to evaluate the position. The one thing we won't compromise is quality. And so we'll continue to evaluate that as we go forward. On the full year results, we are sticking with our with market expectations. But Mark, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Martin, I mean, you know, what we set off in the year on the pre-disposals basis was we were going to be sort of flat, year on year. You know, that was always the guidance in a year of turnaround. I mean, clearly as we've gone through the year during the second half, we need to be adjusting for those businesses that we've sold. But the underlying business was still, you know, expecting to be sort of flat to sort of slightly ahead.
Okay, super. Thanks for that. Thanks for both of those.
Thanks, Martin.
There are no further questions, so I will hand you back to your host to close today's conference.
Thank you very much, operator. Thank you to everyone who's joined the call today. Again, my ongoing appreciation for your interest in our company, and hopefully we will continue with the momentum that we've seen in the first three quarters of this year. I hope you will take from this call, we're prepared to take the pain to clean up this business. We've demonstrated that in the first 9 months of this year, and we've been able to deliver growth, sustainable growth, I believe, in our business. And we will continue on our trajectory of doing a lot of different things to clean up this business as we go forward to ensure that we can deliver sustainable top line and bottom line growth. Thank you very much for the call, guys. Ciao.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.